The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, it's January 6th, and you know what that means. It's time to have a congressional certification of those 2024 election results. Annie, back here in studio with Ryan and Brad, but we're going to go directly to the House floor as Vice President Kamala Harris gets ready to certify Donald Trump as the next president of the United States.
Mr. Speaker and members of Congress, pursuant to the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Senate and House of Representatives are meeting in joint session to verify the certificates and count the votes of the electors of the several states for President and Vice President of the United States. After ascertainment has been had that the certificates are authentic and correct in form, the tellers will count and make a list of the votes cast by the electors of the several states. The tellers on the part of the two houses will take their places at the clerk's desk.
So we've been listening to Vice President Kamala Harris as she is setting the table for the certification of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance's election victory. She's standing at the front of the House floor. This looks like what it looks like for the State of the Union, where you see the vice president and you see the Speaker of the House sitting behind where traditionally the president would speak at the State of the Union. And it's a reminder regarding the State of the Union that the president is always invited by the Speaker of the House to deliver that speech to the people who are represented by joint Congress. This is the only other time, other than an address to Congress through the State of the Union, or generally speaking, if Donald Trump is to give one here at the beginning of his term. It's not really a State of the Union because he just kind of got a hold of the Union. Do we have more? Should we go to? All right, Brad, let's go ahead and listen.
The tellers will announce the votes cast by the electors for each state, beginning with Alabama. Senator Fisher.
Madam President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state of Alabama seems to be regular in form and authentic, and it appears therefrom that Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida received 9 votes for president, and J.D. Vance of the state of Ohio received 9 votes for vice president.
So Alabama speaking now, and Ryan, it might be
all right. So again,
the easiest thing to just let that ride. But even Brett Baier, I tried to get in there before he did. But even Brett Baier is like, you've heard it.
Yeah.
Now we got to do this a bunch more times.
49 more times.
Yeah. And then it's official. Donald Trump is the president-elect. The results of this election are certified.
I just think it's great that in this great union of ours that Alabama goes first, because regardless, you're going to have a Republican get those first votes.
Yeah, well, unless they're a Senate seat to replace Jeff Sessions.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah. You know, this is wild. I'm back from vacation, first day back since the 23rd of December. Had a wonderful time off with my family. It's my favorite time of year. These couple weeks surrounding Christmas, my husband's a teacher, as we've talked about many times before, so he's off, and we really just use it as an opportunity to lean into family and spending time together and enjoying this time together. But the whole time I was gone, I was thinking about, man, day one, when I get back, it's January 6th. And the phrase January 6th has meant something, you know, quite different in the last 4 years post January 6th, 2021. But we have been able to look back on that day, get a little bit more information, not enough information, on what actually unfolded that day. And all of that was kind of a cloud that existed over the name Donald Trump, anybody who supported Donald Trump. And that was very intentional. That was very purposeful. That was constructed for one sole purpose: to make sure that Donald Trump never becomes the president of the United States again. And here we are, January 6th of 2025. And Donald Trump is being certified as the, I'm going to just say it, landslide victor of the 2024 presidential election. We appreciate you being with us here today. I'm very excited about our 1225 guest. So in about 15 minutes from now, we are going to invite onto the show the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Chairman Michael Whatley, is going to join us. I've never spoken with him before, so I'm excited to see what he, you know, okay, good job. Two thumbs up. Got the president reelected and, you know, high fives all around, but the real work actually has to start now. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, as much as I hate to say this, we're 2 years away from a midterm election where Donald Trump either needs to race for the next 6 months, you know, 100 days, 6 months, however long it is until people go full on midterm election mode. We need to grow a Republican majority in the House. That's not historically likely at all. You get about 2 years to get done what you can get done. And Donald Trump definitely has his work cut out for him. But I've been excited this whole Christmas break, being able to spend time with my family. I enjoyed every minute of it. But I have to say, I never once was feeling like super bummed at the thought of coming back to work. In 2020, going into 2021, I was probably, I don't know if I was depressed, but I would tell you that I was lost. Like, how do I do this? The people who listen to my show, in large part, support Donald Trump. And how do I go onto the air every day and remind people to, you know, continue to have hope, to be able to analyze what's going on and say, you know, we've had a bad day. But when Joe Biden, you remember, you know, all of the things that were being announced in between the election and his inauguration, Ryan, over and over and over again, this appointment, that appointment, this appointment, that appointment, just like we've heard with Donald Trump. But all we ever heard about from the appointees was like how it was historical and some sort of demographical DEI lottery that the Biden administration knew that they were going to win.
Yeah, and they're all deep state people. I mean, these are people that are lifelong government people, which is why they didn't make as big a news in 2021 going into the Biden term, because they were all A, names you didn't know, and B, just more of the same.
I significantly feel like the people who Joe Biden surrounded himself with, I saw an image on X yesterday, maybe it was even last night, and it showed, like, you know, how you get the presidential chart. And it's kind of crazy to see all the presidents that have ever been in charge of the United States. There's really so few of them.
Mm-hmm.
There are what we've had. Well, I guess there's 40. I mean, he's 45 and 47, but he was a president before, and Cleveland was a president before. So have we had 45 different people be president? Is that right?
That's my math would suggest. Yeah,
math
45.
Math. So we've had 45 people in the history of this country become the president of the United States-ish. That's not very many people. And to think that Donald Trump has been able to come back and do what he's done is absolutely, it's breathtaking, really. To have rolled this roller coaster forever. It is the biggest political comeback that this country has ever seen. But I challenge you to think, what if in 2028 Joe Biden comes back and wins?
That's all I think about. I'm scared to death of this man. You see this guy and you're like,
what? You can't tell me that wouldn't be the biggest political comeback in the history of time.
Well, you know, it wouldn't.
Biden 2028.
Now, if they started trying to prosecute him, then it would be. If they took shots at
that
him,
could be on
then
the
it
table.
Would be.
We
yeah.
could do that.
Yeah.
We could see to it. Might now, actually be legitimate.
No, I mean, in all reality, though, I'm really, really afraid of a Biden second term.
Well, I just, you know, it's funny because there's no way that something like that happens. But you do have to ask yourself, and this is something that we all need to be very mindful of. We could have a second Biden term and never know who's been pulling the strings this time. They could come back in 2028 and do the same thing. We could have a second Biden term. You just need to have another willful puppet who will go in there and who wants, I mean, like, that's what you got to ask yourself. Why was he so willing, and why were the people around him? I'm no Jill Biden fan. Kind of a fan of her red suit on election day. Just going to say, leave that out there. But why would Joe Biden and the people around him so willfully participate in what took place in the last 4 years, because this was not the Biden agenda. Biden's agenda is whatever he needs the agenda to be in order for him to retain or gain or grow power. And that's the secret sauce of the Democrat Party. There are people, and this is not something that the Republican Party doesn't know or understand, but the Democratic Party has taken it to lengths that the Republican Party has not yet been able to achieve if they've attempted to do so. And they have attempted to do so. I think when you see a lot of the, you know, deep stater candidates that come in and they strut in like maybe they just are going to inherit the whole thing because that's just the way the system works. And the American people that supported the Republican Party said that is not how the system is going to work anymore. The Democratic Party, they just need to find the willful stooge that is willing to be the face of whatever they say, this is what you're going to do. And when, as soon as they are no longer the willful stooge, they kick them to the curb as fast as they can. I cannot wait for the books to come out about what took place in this Biden administration. Joe Biden is, he has no remarkable achievement that I can think of. Not a single one.
No, you'd say even the most recognizable moments of the Biden presidency have all been failures. And not just for America, like in Afghanistan, for instance, but for Democrats. You know, like the debate is a defining moment of his presidency. And that is not for America, but that is a absolute, well, you know what, in a sense, it is terrible for America because you got to see on full display what the last 4 years have been like behind the scenes right there out in front of you.
As Kamala Harris is receiving the certification state by state of the votes, I think they just went through California. And, you know, California, they certify that those votes go to Kamala Harris. Like, some things aren't going to change. Some things are going to stay the same. And we understand that. But the Democratic Party has not yet, to this point, on January 6th of 2025, has not yet embraced the idea that America is not where the far left of their party exists. There are a lot of Americans that are still looking at Donald Trump and at the Trump administration now and saying, you better put up. You better do what you said you were going to do, and I better be able to notice it without having to watch the news that is out there telling me how good I have it now because the right guy got in office. The Republican Party is being put on notice right now. We gave you this opportunity. You need to make good on the power that we've entrusted in you. And that's the beauty of this country, is that you have enough power to make a dramatic change, a dramatic change. If you think 2016 to 2020 to 2024, what a roller coaster that has been. You know, we talk about a pendulum swinging one way to the other. Can you think, you know, this time, 2021, January 6th, yesterday, January 5th, 2021, Georgia throws two Senate seats to the Democrats and hands them the majority so that the incoming president, Joe Biden, has both chambers of Congress? Do you remember what that felt like? Do you remember how much hope you had? Do you remember how much fear you had? Do you remember how much concern you had for your economics, for your national security, for the safety of this country, the security of the border, your ability to speak freely, to exercise every constitutional right that is guaranteed to you, that was given to you by God, because that's what it says. Do you remember what it felt like on January 6th, 2021? If you haven't really thought about it, if you felt like, gosh, this is such a great day, don't forget to sit that day right next to what you felt like on January 6th of 2021. Because if we screw this up, if the Republican Party fails to lead, fails to come together, we will find ourselves back there incredibly quickly. Just ask the Democrats right now, who cannot believe that we are in the process, in this moment in time, in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, certifying the re-election of Donald J. Trump to become the president of the United States. They did not see that coming, and they did everything in their power to stop him, and it wasn't enough. The American people spoke, and the results are being certified today. You have to pay attention. You have to understand where we've been to know where we're going and to keep those people accountable. So when we come back, we're going to have Michael Whatley. He's the chairman of the Republican National Committee. He's the one leading this charge for the Republican Party. He's going to speak to us when we come back about what happens next. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Grade your expectations for 2025. It's been a rough one to start. Where will it go from here? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and leave us a vote and tell us your expectations for 2025. How do you feel? Michael Whatley on the Annie Fry Show next.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It is such a pleasure to be with you here on January 6, 2025, as we are watching right now the certification of the election results to where the official results of the November 2024 election will be made certified here as Kamala Harris is presiding over that. We have on the phone with us, I'm very excited to have our guest on, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley, joins us now. Chairman, thank you so much for the time today. It is an honor to have you on our show. I don't think we ever have. Thank you for coming with us while this historic event is taking place on Capitol Hill.
Well, thank you, Annie. It is indeed a great day for America as we're watching the certification count here in the House right now. And it's a great day for America and, frankly, for the whole world.
You know, I'm watching a lot of the news headlines talk about the headline isn't Donald Trump election results to be certified. It's Kamala Harris presides over her defeat. And there's a part of me that's saying, OK, that's yesterday's news. What happens next? It's nice to know that Donald Trump won, which means Kamala Harris lost. But when you see this moment, and yes, the visual of Kamala Harris sitting next to now Speaker Mike Johnson once again, what is your emotion about this particular moment? Are you looking back? Or are you looking forward?
I'm looking forward. I think that, you know, what this is, the last formal event that has to take place before the 20th, where we're going to go to the inauguration, and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are going to be sworn in as the president and vice president. And then we're going to have a parade, and they're going to get into the Oval Office and roll up his sleeves and get to work. And the American people are very, very ready for this change. They're very ready for a president and an administration that are going to see, you know, their safety and their security as the number one priority. They're going to see that the entire world is going to respect America again, and that we're going to restore our southern border, rebuild our economy, and keep our communities safe. That's what the American people voted for on November 5th. And I'm just very anxious to get there.
Yes, I think we all are. We've been kind of just inching forward to this moment. But I have a feeling, especially once that inauguration is complete, that it's going to go at a breakneck pace. Tell me, Michael Whatley, you're the chairman of the Republican National Committee. At this point, obviously, your responsibility was to do everything in your power, along with your co-chair, Laura Trump, to get Donald Trump reelected. What is the Republican National Committee's focus and your focus in leading them at this point in time?
Well, right now, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to support the president as he goes through this transition period, and then make sure that we get the inaugural ceremonies locked in and everything taken care of there. And then on the 21st, we're going to go right back to work and make sure that we win those midterms. We've got to make sure that President Trump has a full 4 years to work with Congress to advance this agenda. And we want to make absolutely sure going into the 26th election cycle that we're back to our fundamentals. We're getting out the vote and we're protecting the ballot.
Do you feel like since the election has occurred in November, it's been a couple months now, and I'm looking at the Democrats thinking to myself, they need to learn a lesson. I remember specifically in 2020, Laura Ingraham saying, like, the Republican Party needs to do their autopsy here. They need to do the postmortem and figure out what they need to do to win. And here we are with Donald Trump being certified right now. So it looks like the Republicans had to ask themselves some tough questions, and they did, and they succeeded. I'd assume that the Democrats have that same opportunity. Do you feel like the Democrat Party is doing what they need to do to make this a close fight in the midterms and then again in 28?
What we're seeing right now is a Democratic Party that's in free fall. You know, everybody thinks that, the election was decided because they had a bad messenger, and they certainly did. But they also had a bad message. You know, when you have a party that is dedicated to open borders, inflationary spending, and, you know, trying to use America as a social experiment rather than focusing on the needs of, you know, all citizens, all voters, and all communities, that's not going to work with the American electorate, and it's not going to work, frankly, for all of America. So, you know, as long as they're going to continue to try and push forward with the agenda that they were advancing in this election cycle, they're not going to have any more luck. What Republicans won because Donald Trump knew what issues the voters cared about, and he talked about those issues relentlessly and made it absolutely clear that he's going to fight for every American family every single day. That's the key.
Yeah, it's refreshing to hear that and to know that the message is pretty consistent. It's actually a pretty simple message, too, I would say. What Donald Trump delivered to the American people, they were looking for. We're speaking with the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley, on the Annie Frye Show right now. Chairman, when you are talking about your responsibility and the RNC's responsibility being to support Donald Trump right now, what is your ask of the American people that sent him there, who want him to succeed, obviously? Is there anything left for the people to do? We voted. He's got the right guy in there. What's left for us to do at this point?
Well, there's a lot to do, you know, and the fact is that this is an American agenda. You know, it's an America First agenda. But, you know, we need Congress to work with the president. We know that there's a lot of authority that he has through executive powers, and he's going to use those on day one to secure the southern border, unleash American energy, and start moving forward with this agenda. But there's a lot that we're going to need Congress to help with. We're going to need Congress to vote on legislation, and the American people are going to have to continually remind their representatives in Congress and their senators to work with President Trump and move forward on this agenda. And then we're going to go right back into the 26th election cycle, because if we lose the House, if we lose the Senate, the first thing the Democrats are going to do is go right back to their impeachment playbook. They're going to go right back to the bogus investigations playbook, and they're going to do everything they can to disrupt this agenda. So we're going to focus on winning the midterm election cycle, and we're also going to support President Trump and J.D. Vance as they're moving, you know, with Congress. But we're going to need the voters to hold their representatives and senators accountable.
I think that's a wise set of advice there for the people who are listening right now. And we have Republican in our listening area here in St. Louis area, in the bi-state region, Illinois and Missouri. We have a lot of Republicans and Democrats both in districts around this area. Do you expect to see any bipartisan work? Because Donald Trump was very popular across the country. Almost everywhere shifted towards Donald Trump. Do you think that there are Democrats who are going to get on board with the Donald Trump message?
I do, you know, and I have to say that when we saw Speaker Johnson elected last week, one of the speeches that took place, did not get reported on at all, was by Hakeem Jeffries. And it was remarkable to me that he said, we are going to work with the president and the Republicans in Congress to secure the southern border. And we're going to work with them to bring in inflationary spending and help bring down prices for American consumers. That's a seismic statement by Hakeem Jeffries. And if he holds true to that, and the House Democrats hold true to that, then I think there's a lot that we can get done for the American people.
Chairman Whatley, before we let you go, I want to ask you to kind of reflect on the Republican Party as a whole, as you are a leader in it. I'm 40 years old myself, so I've come onto the scene, paid attention specifically, just to set the stage a little bit. September 11th happened in my senior year of high school. A lot of the people who I knew then went and signed up to serve in the military in a wartime. So where I come from, George W. Bush is where I paid the most attention up until now. The Republican Party looks, I don't really recognize it right now as something that I've seen the playbook for before. What do you think is ahead for the Republicans? And what do you want people who are looking to potentially support this Republican Party to know about how you're going to manage operations with this RNC?
Yeah, Donald Trump has completely remade the Republican Party. You know, and right now, this is the working class party. This is a party that is going to represent every voter in every single state. That's why we built a common sense coalition that includes people like Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard, you know, and it includes Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You know, we had two different Democrats who ran for president come aboard and support Donald J. Trump in this election cycle. I think that's absolutely tremendous. And I think that's where our party needs to go. Every candidate who's going to run in 2025, 2026, 2028, or any time in the future is going to have to follow the lead of Donald Trump. Listen to your voters. Understand the issues that they care about. Put solutions on the table and relentlessly campaign every day to let them know you're going to fight for their interest. And as long as Republicans do that, we can continue to be the party that's going to have the White House plus the Senate plus Congress. But as soon as we walk away from that and we start allowing Republicans to campaign on issues that they care about rather than the issues that the American voters care about, we will lose and we'll go right back to that minority status that we just worked our way out of.
That's right. Chairman Whatley, thank you for your part in bringing America First back. And I'll let you get back to watching those certification results as they come in. A big day for the RNC, of course, but mostly for America as we get back to work here very soon. Thank you for the time today. It's great to speak with you. We look forward to having you back soon, hopefully.
Yes, ma'am. Take care and have a great week.
You as well. Bye-bye. Chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley, on the Annie Fry Show. A great first guest for 2025. I don't think that we've ever... The only way that I would have ever spoken with him is if he would have been not the chairman.
Like he had a different
like a
position.
Like a spokesperson or something. But I don't think I've ever spoken with him.
That's a big get.
I've spoken with Laura Trump. I've spoken with Eric Trump. I've spoken... I think I've spoken with Ronna McDaniel once, maybe. We tried to get her a lot, but she was definitely difficult to get on. And are they going right now?
Well, I know it's official certification. So.
Official Ooh. Certification. No funny business. No shaman. What was he called?
Wouldn't that be amazing if that guy walked right through, though?
I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't be beyond me at all if like you had a George Santos or Matt Gaetz to have him be in the peanut gallery right now in his hat.
I'm okay with that. I would love to see that. Just him walking around like he's lost, you know, like, oh shoot, I didn't even mean to be in here.
Guys, we're back. It's so exciting. This is so exciting. And we're here with you. And we are so grateful for you. And, you know, we want to bring the Annie Fry Show to new heights in 2025, which is why we're going to hand it off to Wiggins America next.
Yeah. Let's get this thing going. It's a Monday roundup.
Monday roundup?
Uh-huh.
The first Monday roundup of 2025. You got any good stories?
No.
Feels just like
No, but I do have a lot of stories. They're all bad.
So this time, quantity over quality, as long as you bring one.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then, you know, add in 6. I got a couple articles here that could go for full segments.
Well, let's break up. That's totally, if this were the end of December, they would have.
Yes, they have.
Well, we got a job to do now in 2025, and that is to bring you the news, the information, but of course, the entertainment as well. We are grateful for you. You can stream us live on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Grade your expectations for 2025. A, B, / C, D, or F. You can also go to AnnieFryShow.com and click to stream there. Get your podcasts and everything at AnnieFryShow.com. We would love to have you visit. You can even give us some feedback for the new year through a form on that website. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America and the first Monday Roundup. Is this the first? You didn't do it while I was gone, did you?
No.
This is the first Monday
the first
in
one.
2025.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Wiggins. Oh!
the actual wildest ride in the wilderness is closed for a year?
I knew it was coming soon. Is it closed now?
I think it's closed.
The Big Thunder Mountain Railroad that gave me a kidney stone?
It didn't give you a kidney stone. No,
I didn't have one until
then. It didn't manifest a kidney stone for you. It relocated it.
It told me, like, it goes, wow, this ride in the wilderness. And it goes, get ready for some calcium in your organs.
3 straight days without sleeping and only walking, and you drank, like, a sip of water.
I was drinking a lot of coconut water.
You didn't finish it. You didn't.
No, I didn't finish it.
I'm the one who bought it. Yeah. There was a lot left over, and I tasted it, and I'm like, not for me.
Oh, yeah, it's good, though. It hydrates you well, except when you're walking 30,000 steps a day.
I think that it might hydrate you well if you drink it.
Oh, I drank some. I just didn't finish all of it.
It doesn't count if you just buy it.
I specifically remember the amount of coconut water we had left over and thinking, like, I don't know that he really needed that.
No, I think I asked you for, can I just get, like, one of the larger ones? And you're like, well, I didn't have those, so I bought you a 24-pack or something.
It was
very generous.
It was a 6-pack. We were there for 2 nights.
I couldn't finish it because we were barely at the room.
Chris on YouTube says you need to stop licking the calcium off of the roller coaster.
Ew.
Well, that's something that I know now.
They got a lot of signs at Disney World, Magic Kingdom, but not that one.
But they do it such like a fun way.
If you see it now, though, you'll know why.
Yeah, it's all part of the theme. Like, hey, don't lick the calcium off the roller coaster. And you're like, oh, that's so kitschy. You don't pay attention to the message.
It's just part of the theme.
Right. I want to mention, before we get into this whole thing here, that one of the more unique scenes, you only see this once in a while, and it's January 6th, so you got all of Congress together. I looked up in the break, and I saw 3 people standing together, and I don't know if they were all conversing.
Is this one of those weird, like, I thought we hated each other things?
No. It's just people you'd never see together.
Yeah.
Vice President-elect J.D. Vance standing with Susan Collins and Mike Bost.
Mike Bost?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
And a couple other people there, too, that I didn't recognize, but those 3 were there. And it's just like, I don't know how often they would ever be in a room conversing.
We will have Congressman Bob Onder on the show at 125, Missouri's 3rd District Representative. Glad to have him on the show. But before then, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah, Wiggins America is the Monday roundup. Now, I could give you a roundup for everything that's happened for the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to do that. You've been paying no attention.
I paid more attention than I thought I would.
I did, too. And actually, we were here hosting for some of it. So
Just passively, but like, I didn't want to keep it. I wasn't afraid of, some of the news got bad, I guess.
So, well, let's start with some news then, because this one's pretty interesting. Greenland's prime minister pushes for independence from Denmark amidst Trump's interest in the nation. The self-governing Danish territory has been in the spotlight since U.S. President-elect Donald Trump reiterated his wish to buy the island. This is a wild story.
It is wild. And it's like, every time I think, okay, I think I got my hand. I think I know where we're headed. Let's see if they can do it. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get Greenland. Oh.
Well, it's just funny because he had already
stated this. They'll probably get an NFL team before we will.
Good for them.
It's not a huge media market is the thing.
Actually, no. St. Louis is going to get a new NFL team, but they're going to play their games in Greenland.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, we're going to do all the overseas games with the St. Louis whatever team. This is
Vikings.
No,
crap, that's taken.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Well, let's just take the name from Minnesota.
Let's just be the Browns. Hey, that's taken too.
Greens.
The St. Louis Greens.
The Greens. Let's make all the DEI green, the environmental people. Let's have a
St. Louis Greens.
The mascot could be the little how dare you girl.
Yeah.
What's her name?
And the helmet's made out of soy.
Greta.
I think that's probably good for Pfizer's study of CTE. I think we solved some problems here.
Gotta tell you, I didn't expect Greenland's interest in becoming an independent state from Denmark to turn into our discussion about a possible NFL team.
For St. Louis.
For St. Louis.
We play our stupid games in London. Baseball's like, ooh, Cards Cubs series, biggest ticket in town. Let's do it in Europe.
Yeah, it was great. We were all really happy about that.
Good story.
And then they left. And here we are. Greenland is possibly going to become an independent nation. I mean, I don't know what the process is here. Just the fact that 2 weeks ago, the prime minister was going, look, this is ridiculous. We're not for sale.
Well, that was Denmark.
And was that Denmark's prime minister saying that?
So Greenland is part of Denmark.
Well, yeah.
And the Danish prime minister was like, it's not for sale.
You don't need to teach people this stuff right now. It's all going to change.
Well, the Greenland prime minister was saying the same thing, though. He was like, no, that's not part of our agenda.
Like,
but then, look, the nation is 68,000
people. Nobody wanting to make
people.
A really good deal would be like, oh, we're totally into that.
Yeah, right,
that's
right.
A little hard to get.
Like, well, you know, I'll wait till after Christmas to really tell them that we're interested. But the population of Greenland, just for perspective here, is smaller than St. Charles. That's how quickly that number of people could change their mind. I mean, it's not that many people.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Isn't that nuts? So...
Like we talked about the Mercator map.
Yes.
It's a little deceptive.
Exactly. There's almost nobody there. It's all in Nook, basically. And so you get a few people who go, oh.
You've been to Iceland.
You mean I can make some money?
You didn't go to Greenland.
No, we didn't go to... We talked about it, though, because it's not that far.
Can you go to Greenland?
The problem is if you go to Iceland, to go to Greenland, you're just going to set foot on the land and then say you did it. There's nothing there. So we had to figure out, do we want to just do it to say we did it? Because if you go to Greenland, you want to go to Nook. It's the only city. And that's not really that close to Iceland. So anyway, wild, wild stories coming out of basically every aspect of politics. I don't know why we wouldn't want to do that. I don't know that they're going to become a U.S. territory, even if they do become independent. But you'd think that they want some protection somehow. Mm-hmm. So if it's not Denmark... And in fact, if you're going to attack Greenland, who's going, I don't want to mess with Denmark, though. Anyway, next one is an Illinois man found a Christmas present for himself inside the walls of his parents' home. His mom and dad had lost it 46 years ago.
What was it? This is a accidental time capsule.
It was. Yeah, it was four decades later that he owned a construction. He was doing a project.
What year?
46 years. So it would be 78-ish. Okay. He opened the package, and what was in it was a Thunder Jets toy. It was just like the little planes. And it looks so dated, but it's brand new.
I was going to say, is it valuable?
I don't know that it's valuable other than that it's
condition?
Just... It's obviously brand new, never been opened. But even the wrapping paper was cool looking because it was... It's just like, oh, that's what Christmas gifts looked like
then. Did you get your bidet?
Sort of.
Did you get the cheap one?
No, I got the expensive one. But the gift was going to be that Katie came home from school one day, and there was a bidet, and oh my gosh, what a great gift. So I had it sent to my handyman's house, but I put my zip code on his address. And so it was lost in the mail for about 2 weeks.
Uh-oh. When did you get it, or did you not have it yet?
It finally arrived at his house. Right after Christmas. So we haven't even got it.
Sounds like
yet.
You didn't order it and you just Amazon primed that sucker.
No.
24-hour delivery.
I ordered that thing plenty early.
Do you have documentation to prove it?
Yes.
Okay. I won't argue.
If you're interested.
Not that interested. I can tell when you say yes whether you're telling the truth or not, and I think you're...
Well, I'm telling the truth. Yeah, this has been a terrible, terrible experience. We still don't have it.
Just wait until you have it, though.
Oh, yeah. It's going to feel wonderful. Nice and warm. All over.
Mm. What are you doing with this bidet? I don't want to know. Last time I asked you that question, I found out you use it a little bit differently than others. Next story.
New York City singles dish on why this Sunday is the biggest online dating day of the year. With the new year comes new swipes. And apparently, because people take off a lot of the holidays on the dating scene, this Sunday sees a massive free meals.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Explain what you mean.
No, you finish your story.
Okay. This Sunday sees a massive surge in online dating swipes and, you know.
But why?
Queries. Because we're through the holidays. We're past New Year's Day.
So people just are like, I have some time now.
And people are like, oh, I got to get back on the scene.
I thought people were broke and women just wanted free dinner.
No. Well, that could be too.
I bet that's the real story.
But on Hinge, dating Sunday, this Sunday, sees a 27% increase and 29% increase for other dating apps.
I think it's funny that in the time, like I've never heard of women utilizing dating as just a way to get free meals, which we do stories on that several times during the year. They come up where it's like, yeah, you go on dates, you get free meals, and then you have no expectation of a second date. You just want that free meal. It's funny to me that this is happening at the same time where, like, the pro-feminist movement is all about, like, equality and everything. What if you go and the guy's a feminist is like, you're going to pay, right?
Yeah, I think we can do that now. I didn't really date during the feminist movement, but I think that if I were dating now, I would suggest that constantly. I would lead with, I'm a feminist.
Yeah. And you too are not interested in a second date.
No, not at all. I am interested in letting you pay for my meal.
This is where I wish I had more women in the room, because if I ever went on a date and one of the first things the guy told me was, I'm a feminist, I just couldn't leave fast enough. And I would, especially in my 40th year of life, would not do a single thing to soften that blow.
You mean you would just leave? Like, leave,
yes.
Leave the date?
Yes.
In the middle
Bye.
Of it.
Why would I stay?
I don't know. The meal.
I'm paying twice for a meal on a date? No. I think that you'll remember that I have a now 20-plus year argument going with my husband on who asked who out on our first date.
Oh, yeah.
Because I adamantly would never have asked a boy out to go on a date.
And he claims that you did.
I actually got him to write down in documentation over the break that
you
did not.
This is still happening? This story evolves.
Still happening.
This story has changed since 2019 when I joined the show.
I have said many times I would never ask a boy out, not one that I really liked, but I would, this is what women do. I would bend over backwards to try to get him to ask me out. It's not that I was like completely disinterested and he finally asked me out and I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I was confident in my affection for him before he was confident in his affection for me. And we were socially friends for over a... He's probably listening right now on a snow day going, you've got to be kidding me. I was socially friends with him for over a year, I think, before we ever went on said first date. And I was a resident assistant, an RA at SIUE, and we took a group trip to a Cardinals-Cubs baseball game. I will tell you it was in 2004. I will tell you that Mike Matheny was up with the bases loaded and he walked the winning run in either in the bottom of the ninth or overtime. So you could go look up whenever that happened and that would be the exact date when this took place. I remember the baseball game. I remember what happened. It was incredibly exciting. I was sitting down the third baseline in the 300 to 400 section.
This is your first date with your husband.
Was this was not my first date with my husband. No, I asked him to come with me because it was a group outing with people who I worked with, and we did social things together all the time. And I asked him to come with me because I had an extra ticket. I might have asked one of my girlfriends first. I don't know, but I asked him to come with me. He came with me, and then maybe a week later, a week and a half later, it might have been even more than that. I need to find out what the actual date was to find out the time between that and what our actual first date was. I was very interested in dating him, but I think this show is responsible for suggesting that was our first date. And I'm like, it in fact was not a date.
I think it might have been.
Shut up.
It does seem as if that he was like, oh yeah, this game's going into overtime. You want to spend some overtime with me? Like, there was kind of a date there.
That's what I said?
I don't know who said it.
Absolutely didn't say that. Or talk in that tone ever.
I wasn't there. This is just secondhand reporting. You know, when I talk to Jared, that's what you sound like.
You should hear what you sound like when I talk to Jared.
No, thanks.
Yeah, no. Well, we agreed. He conceded, but I think he just did it because he loves me. I don't think he believes it. I think he was being nice.
Like altering the story now because he loves you?
He's like, fine. You fine. I asked you out. Fine.
Yeah, right. Whatever
you need to
honey,
hear. Yeah.
That's what it is. Well, if you're single, consider this Sunday, you're going to have a little bit deeper pool to choose from.
Well, I'm not single. I'm very taken.
Go to a Cardinals. Go to Busch Stadium this Sunday.
Yeah, everybody. Just so you know, when you go to a Cardinals game, you're dating, what is it now, like 18,000 people at a time?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully more in
that 2025. That was your plan. It was all a group date.
Yeah, I was on a date with everybody there. Just swinging around the whole stadium, doing my thing. Steve Moore and Congressman Bob Onder in the next hour. Don't go away.